we're looking at, and I've really taken the time to really go wide, go broad with this chapter 5 of Galatians. So if you have not been with us, I'm going to do my best to kind of pull you into where we're at. Really and truly, let me just read the verse, and that will say what I was going to get ready to say. Titus chapter 2. Now, many of you that have been around here a while have heard this many times. I remember I preached for years, never noticed the verse. I mean, I'd read it. How many of you ever read a verse and never noticed it? And one day you noticed it. Revelation by the Spirit of God. Titus 2. These are good ones to circle, to underline. If you don't write in your Bible, then write in your neighbor's Bible. But you need to write in somebody's Bible about these two verses. It says here, for the grace of God, a good one to memorize. The grace of God appeared, this is Titus chapter 2, verse 11, I'm sorry, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, if you were here last week, we looked at John 16, actually John 14 and 16 both. Jesus is speaking forward of the new covenant. He said, it's necessary for me to go away. Jesus understood the human condition, the natural tendency to depend on flesh, to depend on him being there physically. There was a purpose and a time, 3.5 years, his ministry, until his death. It was necessary. I mean, if we see his purpose, Acts 10:38. How many know what Acts 10:38 says? How Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good. He was anointed of the Holy Ghost, it says, doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. John put it this way, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of the devil. But in John, he announces now, as he is getting ready to ascend to the Father and complete, if you would, this final work, the ratification of the new covenant. He says, it's necessary, it's expedient for you that I go, for I'm going to send you the Comforter. How many are glad for the Comforter today? The Holy Spirit. Everything was getting ready to change because when he died, was buried, and resurrected, he would do exactly what Paul describes and now makes it personal in each one of us. This is what happened when we were born again. In the same book that we're studying, back in chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I was crucified with Christ. This can only be possible by the Spirit of God. When Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, the work that he did was for every man, every soul. Now, it's up to us to receive. Okay, we have to receive that. But he paid the way. And Paul says that I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus, when he died, was buried and resurrected, ascended to the Father, provided the way for every one now to become one. This is what he did, redemption, redeemed, bought back with his blood. How many know that for those of us who have been born again, we are not our own? Paul says, but we are what? Purchased with a price. Isn't that something? A lot of people get into the whole grace thinking, they begin to think that they're just, now they're just free, and it's almost like I can do whatever I want. Well, there's a huge catch to that, and that is when you come into a relationship free of condemnation, free, learning how to step into this thing, one of the things that should become very clear to you is that I no longer belong to me. I'm bought with precious blood. How many are glad for the blood of Jesus today? Oh, precious, we sang it, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Aren't you glad for that? That's not just words of a song. That's for everyone who has confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. What a powerful truth. And by the way, the other song that we sang, if he is your Savior, it's man that has separated salvation from healing. Just as much as he saved you, he healed you. This is what Scripture says, bears out. So if you're believing God today, you're on good ground. Amen. So let me move forward with what I'm saying. So here he is. So he says, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit. It's important for me to go away. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, rather. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. It's expedient for me to go. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And it says that he would be our teacher, our guide. That I'm going to send him. This is all he's speaking, future tense. I got to go. I'm going to send him. Here in Titus now, this is after his death, burial, resurrection, the work of the new covenant completed. And here, the Holy Spirit speaking through the writer says this, for the grace of God hath appeared. Look at your Bible. Hath appeared to all men. That's powerful. The grace of God that brings salvation. I'm very glad for salvation, an all-inclusive term. Amen. Salvation hath appeared to all men. And then it goes on to say, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Okay? So this is what he's saying. I want to go back to. So here we see Jesus saying, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Here we see the writer by the Holy Spirit after the completion of the new covenant, it's done, saying he has done what he said. He has appeared to all men and speaks of grace not as a message, but as a person. Isn't that something? The grace of God. He has come and he teaches. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit. Now I want to finish up with that just a little bit, just give you a few glimpses. And though some of these I will repeat from a couple of weeks ago, but I want you to just to look at these with me one more time. Look at, if you would, at the book of Ezekiel 36, Old Testament, 26 and 27. I'm going to be reading out of the Young's Literal Translation. And of course, it speaks in the Hebrew. It's speaking of a future time, our time under the new covenant. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 says, and I have given to you, the way your King James would read, it said, I will put within you, I will, it's all future tense. Here in the Young's Literal Translation, hugging the Hebrew very closely, as we said a couple of weeks ago, God does not speak in future tense. He speaks in present and past. This is why he said to Abraham, I have called you, Abraham. You're no longer Abram. I have called you, and you are the father. How many know that's a good way to begin speaking in our own life? Not kicking stuff down the road, but beginning to speak in faith those things that he's spoken to us. And so here we have, it says, I have given to you a new heart. He's speaking of this age of the new covenant, a new heart and a new spirit I give in your midst. And I have turned aside the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I have given to you a heart of flesh. Paul repeats this same kind of terminology found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where he speaks of a ministry of death and condemnation that is written in stone. And he's referencing specifically the law. He references, actually, when he references stone, he's speaking of the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. And he is saying that that which was glorious must needs be done away so that that which is much more glorious would take its place. This is all found in 2 Corinthians 3. I'm not adding, I'm not taking anything. I don't have time to go back there today. You can study that on your own. We looked at it several weeks ago. And what he's talking about is a complete, when what Jesus did was more than just die for our sins. What Jesus did was take mankind and provide the way for man to become literally one with him. Paul refers to it as joint heirs. Last week we looked at 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, and 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, where it says, how many remember this that were with us, that you, speaking to those now who have received Jesus, who are born again and are now new creation, says, you have an anointing from an unction, he calls it in verse 20, you have an anointing from the Holy One. In other words, the Holy Spirit, because of your profession of faith in Jesus, God, by the Holy Spirit, has come to dwell in men. How many are glad today that he dwells within those who have put their faith in Jesus? Hallelujah. John put it this way, greater is he that is in me. Woo, that's good news. How many believe that? What about the rest of you? Greater is he that is in me. Now, when we looked at that last week, I did a little bit of a gotcha, I know. But when we were talking about the anointing that is in you, you remember the way that I posed the question? It revealed to most of us in here that we still, even though we hear these truths, we rejoice in them, we still see ourselves after the flesh. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he said, it's important for me to leave. I've accomplished what I'm supposed to. I've demonstrated. I've healed the sick so that that which was prophesied by Isaiah would be fulfilled. Now, the ultimate work we see. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Man, we were singing that powerful song this morning. I'm really glad for the name of Jesus. Okay? He's here 3.5 years. Well, 33.5 years, but his ministry, 3.5 years. And everywhere he went, he taught and preached. The Bible says they marveled at the authority with which he spake. This came from the fact that he knew, not just because he was God in the flesh. If you study Scripture, you find out that he came here as a man. He certainly was God in the flesh, absolutely. But the Bible says that he learned of himself. The things that he didn't do as God necessarily, but he did as the Son of Man. He operated in our place as a human without sin. He operated by faith. He used faith. He exemplified a type of life that we as a body can walk in as we trust him. Now, we're not going to function that way perfectly. He's the only one that was perfect, but he provided that way. As he is, John says in his own Gospels, as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus said in John 14, greater things shall you do in my name. I'm very glad for the name of Jesus. This, he says, you observe all this that's taking place. Greater things shall you do in my name. Because I'm leaving. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And he will bring to remembrance those things that I've spoken to you. He'll lead you and guide you. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into truth. He said, it's expedient that I go. How many of you remember a time when maybe you were an apprenticeship in certain form of business? Apprenticeship. You were beginning in a certain field, working under a master. And he was showing you the ropes and teaching you and showing you the tricks and showing you the basics and all the stuff. And there came a time when he says, now you're ready to do this on your own. Depending on your personality, You might have aggressively reached for that and made a big mess, but in the process learned the basics were there. Or you may have been very tentative and fearful at the fact that, wow, suddenly now I'm on my own. But a good master doesn't just leave. He lets you go. You take what you've learned in that apprenticeship. You take what you've learned. You begin to operate. And you're going to make some mistakes. And a gentle hand, a good master, a good teacher, will reach in there with a gentle hand on occasion and say, now remember, you're kind of jumping ahead. Remember what we learned? Remember in this phase of the project with this tool, remember what I told you? Oh, yeah, I do. I remember that. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he speaks that simple word, the tool, the whole picture, the remembrance of where you were at when you were in training, all comes together. You reach that thing with a little bit more confidence. You reach in there and you begin to, with confidence, working on your own, performing what the master has taught you to do. This could be in carpentry. It could be in laying tile. It could be in framing a house. It could be in mechanics. It could be in a sport of your choosing. And it's always a little bit scary. How many can remember the time? Raise your hand if you can remember the time. A little scary to step out on your own. I'm so glad that Hebrews 13:5, you might want to write this down. I quote it all the time. Some of you need to write this down and remember it. Hebrews 13:5 says, and I'm going to paraphrase, I'm going to extrapolate out of that verse these words that are promised. Behold, I will, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Behold, he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord, are you here today? The Lord, who is your helper today? That was weak. Who is your helper today? What is a helper? I mean, we get so lofty and religious when we're talking about these kind of things. What is a helper? Someone who helps you. That's no trick question. He helps you. He's there to help. He says, behold, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can tentatively hope. So that you can boldly say, the Lord. I want to ask you, where is the Lord your helper? Somebody just gave the right. Where is the Lord your helper in reference to you? Why I hit what I did last week so hard. When I'm talking about 1 John 2, and if you weren't with us, write those down so you can look at them yourself. It says you have an unction from the Holy One. And you know, this is what it says, this is shocking. You have an anointing from God and you know, some part of you knows all things. And when I pose that, everybody in here, most everybody, was thinking in terms of, well, I know some. And it revealed something about all of us, that we still judge ourselves according to the flesh. And there's reasons for that. Now going back to Jesus. Jesus in the flesh has accomplished the will of the Father. He says, this is why I came. Anything that I do nothing apart from the Father. I don't say anything apart from the Father. Whatever he tells me to say, whatever he tells me to do, this is what I do. I love John 17, a picture of the Son praying and the communion that is there. Okay, so here he is in the flesh. But he said, it's expedient, the King James says. It's necessary. It's vital for you that I leave, because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. The Master had demonstrated. It amazes me that he took men who were not born again. And this is what a lot of people don't understand about the grace message. They don't understand the two covenants that are there. Time allowing today, we'll look at that a little bit further. I'm hoping to read from the book. We've been talking about it for weeks. I may as well get started. The thing is that I lost my train of thought. I got thinking about something in the book, and just that quick it left me. Let me go back and we'll pick it up. Jesus, in the flesh, had accomplished everything that the Father had told him to do. Now the ultimate, his own sacrifice, willingly. You can see that God-man, truly God in the flesh, as John says. John says, in fact, that anybody that denies that Jesus is God in the flesh is a spirit of Antichrist. He was truly 100% God. And yet, God allowed him through his divine arrangement to be 100% man. We see the human side, just like us in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he says, as he's literally sweating blood, a medical science phenomenon, a fact, they can tell you exactly why this happens. The incredible weight of the world, our Savior Jesus. As he was praying, he says, Father, he says, we see the human, the flesh, our Savior. He says, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup, speaking of his crucifixion, let this cup pass from me, and that fast. It's a picture of a promise given us from the Old Testament. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises a standard. That's why it's so important for you to get. That's why I always am pointing out scriptures and saying, write these down. Know them for yourself. If you're going to live off of my messages, you're going to die spiritually. And any preacher that says that they hold what it takes for you to live victoriously, you better be careful. I'm encouraging you to see Jesus revealed. If you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to begin to trust the Spirit of God on the inside of you, who will lead you and guide you into all truth. Herb and I were talking last night at Herb and Carol's house. I'm still full of tacos. But of all that we talked about and all the fun that we had, the one thing that was a pinnacle in all the conversation is when you had a guy, when you were first beginning, coming out of the confusion of religion and constraint and so bad wanting to get it right and all of those things, we were talking about how your journey in grace began, how that a wise man that had gotten a hold of that told you, he says, you need to just stop. Go find some place. What was the comment that caused that? You were basically saying, born again. If you've been born again, I'm not saying an unrenewed mind that in a state of confusion or lack of understanding temporarily wills to do something that is wrong. I mean, I'm talking about somebody who is comfortable in it and perpetually moves in that. Something's off. Something in you hasn't changed. Does that make sense? Not you, them. And that's why we need to preach Jesus, for them to know all you got to do is believe. Confess with your mouth. Let him do a work on the inside of you. It won't be so hard. Anyway, you getting anything out of this stuff? So he wants us to see, don't lean on flesh. Begin to lean on spirit. And now what I want you to see is next week we go into back into 5 of Galatians, is I want you to see what we're going to now begin to draw a separation, and that is there is a flesh covenant. Hold on, don't lose me. There is a flesh covenant. This is literally what Paul calls it, a flesh covenant, the law, and a spirit covenant, the new covenant in Jesus. John 1:17, Moses gave the law. But, say it with me, grace and truth. Moses gave, grace and truth came. Where we started today, Titus 2, 11 and 12. How grace appeared to all men, bringing salvation. There is a spirit walk in the spirit covenant. So here's why I want to make a switch today in your minds. And as we move forward and study, you'll see it clear and clear. So now we see a, let's move it from grace versus law. Let's move it from works to faith. Let's move it. Let's boil it down to this. Flesh covenant. Spirit covenant. That right there will blow chapter 5 wide open. Because if you don't understand what Paul was saying, in that passage, it would seem to say that now, here he is, the whole book, he's challenging the hearers. He is upset about the fact that there are those that came in and tried to bring the law back in because of what it would do. One of the first things it does is rob our joy. And how many know the joy of the Lord is our very strength? And when there's a hitch in your theology and you're doubting, I heard about somebody the other day, an incident came up, heard about a deal, there are people that go to this church. I was so thrilled when I heard it, I could have just rolled on the floor and just shouted for joy. But they heard about an incident, said, I'm going and I'm going to lay hands and God's going to work. That's somebody who's getting a revelation of what this is. This is no longer about me, but who is in me. I got to get over me so I can see Him in me. I'm no longer in this covenant. I'm in a whole new covenant. If I'll just move in confidence. And Jesus was saying, I got to get out of here so you're not leaning on my flesh anymore. Or the flesh, period. This part of me represented the old, a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi under the law, who's the only one who could live it perfectly. But now this part of who I am and all this represents must go to a grave, be buried, and supernaturally resurrected. Ephesians 1 says, by the exceeding great power of God, He was raised from the dead, victor over all. Now that may sound like good preaching, but here's the good preaching. You were raised with Him. But most of you in here can't see it yet, but you're going to. It's better caught than taught. I'm setting the table and letting the Holy Ghost do the rest. But as you get a hold of this, we go back into 5, you're going to see that walking in the Spirit is not suppressing the works of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is walking with confidence in the new, in the Spirit covenant. When you see that separation next week, it'll set you free. It'll unlock some things for many of you. For I'm here to tell you straight up, where the gospel is not being preached, and Paul said the gospel was what we're talking about right now in the beginning of this book. Men who proclaim freedom live in bondage. Men who proclaim joy struggle. Men and women who talk of deliverance walk secretly bound. But I'm here to confess and declare in Jesus' name, not so for us. Are you here today? I'm very glad for Jesus. Many of you in here, the reason I'm laboring here is because even today, you'll leave here going, well, I should probably, boy, that was good. That touched me. Man, I felt God. I'm stirred towards Him. I need to go home and I need to do this and do that and get rid of this and fix this and stop doing this and stop. How many know the Holy Spirit will lead you? He will lead you and say, you don't need this. But that's very different. When the Holy Spirit says, just son, let go. It's not even that it's that great of a sin, but it's separating you. Your confidence is, you're depending on you. Just let go. And open your hand. I'll fill your hand with something. But just turn loose. You know what I'm saying? That's the way he works. But that's very different from somebody who immediately goes back into a religious mode of, man, I got to hurry up and get things in order so that I can really mean this. That's where you get in trouble. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Get yourself back into the new covenant. Begin to pull on this stuff. That's why I'm giving you all these scriptures, laying it out there, so that we can walk like who we are. How many love Jesus today? You get anything out of that? Okay, so when we hit five again, we'll separate those two. And you're going to see that it's not doing stuff, but it is believing a new covenant versus operating according to the flesh. Anyway, let's stand to our feet today. I went long again, but you know what? It doesn't seem to bother people as much anymore. I don't know how they do 3 points in a sermon. I just can't. I mean, 3 points in a poem. Truths that set men free. How many are glad for freedom today? Hallelujah. Would you say it with me out loud? The truth is coming home. And I'm getting freer and freer. Come on, lift your hands all over the place. The truth is coming home. And I'm getting freer and freer because of who he is. Oh, hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands all over the building, shall we? Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. I love the book of Acts where it says that great grace, here they are, Jesus has ascended, sent the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost happens, and the church erupts with an explosion of 3,000 saved by a hairy-legged, foul-mouthed apostle named Peter. Peter was rough. I think it's interesting that God chose him to blow things wide open. Peter, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Your roughness and your crudeness, and you're getting ready to 3 times. You don't even know it. In fact, you just stated the law. Your name means law, Petra, stone. You just stated to me, even though the rest forsake you, I will never. You just laid down a law that you must break, and you're going to break it tonight 3 times amid cursing and swearing, denying that you even know me. But I have prayed for you, buddy. I'm not leaving you. I'm there. And who preaches on the day of Pentecost? 3,000 come to Jesus. Whisper it. Say, Holy Spirit, I know you're alive and in me. I don't understand it. Come on, say it out loud. I don't understand it. I don't know how all this works. But my heart reaches in faith. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for placing yourself within me. Increasing my trust in you. Ha, that is so awesome. We see that great grace is a result of this. And the book of Acts descended over all the believers. And it mentions 2 things. There was great power. Great power. And no lack for anything. Would you lift your hand one more time? Say, thank you, Father, for the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. That I have no lack. I've got to change what's coming out of my mouth. You are not just my provider, but my provision. You are my healing. Not my Savior, but my salvation in me. Peter said it this way, everything that pertains to life and godliness is now in you through the knowledge of his Son. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the Holy Ghost in this place. hearers that are here this morning, their spirit, man, just reaching for spiritual oxygen. Father, I thank you for baptisms in the Holy Ghost. I thank you today for revelations that go beyond what's been said here. Father, forgive us if we've lawyerized. Help us to reveal truth so they can see not me or anybody else or a church or system, but more of you. And Father, I thank you that greater things, would you say it out loud with me today? Greater things will I do because of what he's done in me. In Jesus' name. We never did get to Philippians 2. Read it on your own. He's been given a name that is above every name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Very quickly, I know it's late. Most important thing we could do here today. I'm going to give just a few seconds. Every head bowed, every